Oh yeah, wow, salt life. What do you think when you hear those two words? Yeah, man, if you live here on the Nature Coast, you are no stranger to these words. Maybe you've seen the logo, maybe you've kind of felt the saltwater vibe. You know where we live. I mean, we live in a cool place, right? I mean, think about it, man, the pontoon boats, the fishing, the beaches, the sun. How many of y'all like to go down to the sunsets down? I mean, there's 10 different places. I do wonder why they call Hernando Beach Hernando Beach, because there's no beach. But it's just a phenomenal, phenomenal place, man. Weeky watchy. I mean, swimming our tails off since 1947. I mean, boats, fishing, you name it. It's just an amazing place that we live in. And we kind of capture that idea of salt life, that salt water vibe. And, you know, today would have been the perfect day for me if I was going to do this you see the logo there. All I need is a boat and a slice of paradise. That about sums it up, right? Salt life, happy life. Pretty cool. Well, today would have been a really good day for me to wear my shorts and my flip-flops and my beach hat to preach in. Now, first of all, y'all don't want to see that, okay? We reserve that for the beach. But secondly, it's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day, and traditionally, and I dress up on Mother's Day. My mom likes it when I wear a suit, when I talk. So, you know, this is kind of a way for me to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. So no shorts, no flip-flops, no beach hat today. I get to wear this thing and sweat a little bit. I kind of feel like I'm at the beach, all right? Up in the picture, you see that I am surrounded in my life by some amazing moms. So when I say happy Mother's Day to all of you, and I say happy Mother's Day, I think immediately of the people in my life that are just remarkable mothers. The picture you see there, maybe you've seen it before, is four generations of moms on my wife's side. Grandma Walker, she just graduated and went to heaven this year. She's in the rocking chair there, and she is surrounded by the girls, the mothers in her life. My wife, Lisa, remarkable mom. Her daughter, Kaylee. Sheila, Mama Sheila there on the right. Four generations of amazing mothers. So I say happy Mother's Day. This is who I think of. And especially I think of my own mom, Reva. She's right there in the corner. So I say happy Mother's Day. And since I'm on stage and I've got a microphone, I can officially do what you can't do. So I'm going to look right in the camera and say, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. Hope you're having a really good day. And I will talk to you later. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Wow, salt life. Happy life. Happy Mother's Day. How many of y'all have said that like 3-4 times a day already? You see somebody, you say, happy Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. So I got to ask the question, is salt life really the happy life? Is Mother's Day really happy Mother's Day? I mean, it rolls off our tongue. It's a great sentiment, but is it happy? You see, when we answer that question and we think about that word happy, we think of feeling happy. We think of a mood or something, but what if happy is more than a feeling? What if it's more than being, you know, like happy on a happy salty beach somewhere, you know, with whatever your favorite music and drink is, you know, and you're there? Or what if happy is more than happy Mother's Day? What if happy is not just about family or health or wealth or security or having it made? What if it's not just about feelings? What if it's not even about having kids or being on a beach or having a boat or catching that buzz or having the power or being famous? What if happiness isn't about getting that new job or that pay raise? What if it's not about having the right relationship or even being a part of the right church? What if it's not about behaving right, acting right? Happiness. What if happiness instead were a state of mind? What if happiness was something that comes from within, an attitude of the heart? And what if following Jesus literally changed our definition and our expectation of happiness? Well, guess what? He does. Jesus Christ changes everything. He totally redefines happy, and nowhere stronger than in the Sermon on the Mount. the Sermon on the Mount. Now, our new series, this series, Salt Life, is going to help us to take this five-week kind of scuba dive, all right, into the Sermon on the Mount. Pretty excited about it. It's here that Jesus actually does talk about salt. Right in chapter 5, verse 13, he talks to his followers and he says that you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything. Good for nothing. Which reminds me of the story of a little boy who walked in and says to his mom, you know, maybe it was Mother's Day, and he said to his mom, Mom, if you will give me $5, then I will be good all day long. And his mom looks at him and says, $5? Why can't you just be good for nothing like your dad? I know that's a joke I can only tell on Mother's Day. But we do, man, we do want to be good for something, right? We want to be the salt of the earth, as Jesus described. We want to make a difference with our lives. We want to make a difference in the world. But before we get to Matthew 5, 13, there are 12 verses in Matthew chapter 5 that actually describe the kingdom of God, the people of God. Essentially, what it means to be the salt of the earth. So Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, Jesus uses this word for happy that's been translated blessed in many translations. It's the same word. Scholars use them interchangeably. In fact, blessedness is our Core 52 topic for this week, chapter 18. Hopefully you're tracking with us in the Core 52 material. It's just been amazing. Hopefully you've been reading along with us and watching the videos and studying, maybe in your small group, because there's so much more there than you could possibly learn on a Sunday morning. But blessedness, that's this week. And that word blessed, it means happy. It means fortunate. It means a state of the heart that comes by knowing that God is with us and he's for us regardless of the circumstances or the feelings that we might have. And that word blessed, that word happy, is a key word that Jesus uses in Matthew 5 verses 1 through 12 to describe the people of his kingdom. Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter 5. Maybe you have it. If you're watching at home or up in Building B, go ahead and turn there now. Right here, there's some Bibles actually underneath the chairs in front of you. Go ahead and help your neighbors. The words are not going to be on the screen, so I want you to go ahead and read along with us today. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. And while you're doing that, let me just give you some context. So far this year, as we've been studying, we've seen core passages and themes throughout the Old Testament. We've talked for months about how the Old Testament scriptures point to the Messiah, the coming King, the hidden hope that was revealed and is revealed in Jesus Christ himself. So today we flip 400 years into the New Testament. So as we look at our Bibles in the book of Matthew, we see this time gap, but we see something totally new, something, all that we've studied coming to fruition in Jesus. You see hope. Remember our last series, Hidden Hope. Hope has now come. Hope has come in Jesus. God in the flesh. We're talking about Jesus who came from heaven to earth, born of a virgin to live a perfect life before our eyes, who healed and taught perfectly. Jesus. We talk about this is the crux of humanity. This is what the history has been waiting for, Jesus to come, and he has now come. And Jesus would die a brutal death on the cross for our sins and then rise again after 3 days to do what no one else has ever done, to prove that he was God. And now Jesus sits at the right hand of God waiting to come back and return for his people. And he reigns forever and ever and ever as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hope has come. And in the first four chapters, Matthew 1, Matthew 2, Matthew 3, and Matthew 4, we see Jesus, the life, he's been born, we see him raised, we see him beginning his ministry. And at the end of chapter 4, Jesus, who, by the way, if you read through the first four, you see Jesus literally lived the salt life. I love this. I mean, Jesus spent his whole life around the water. On the sea, on boats, fishermen. I mean, it's just really kind of cool. But that was Jesus. In fact, it was fishermen who Jesus first called to be his disciples. It's one of our favorite verses around here, Matthew 4:19, where Jesus calls his disciples, his first ones, and says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Something for us to take seriously today as well. Matthew 4. So in Matthew chapter 5, We join Jesus at the height of his popularity. Again, he's been teaching and healing, doing all these remarkable things, and people from all kinds of backgrounds are following him now. People everywhere, poor people, destitute people, people who were waiting for the Messiah, and now they've seen this Jesus doing things no one else has ever done before, and they have captured a hold of this hope. And has made him so popular. They're following him. They're gathering to see him, to hear him, to be healed by him. And we come to Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. And we read Jesus' life-changing, history-altering Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. This sermon was probably hours long, but Matthew captures it in three chapters, and we get the highlights. About 111 verses, you can read the whole thing in about 20 minutes. The Sermon on the Mount, it is prime real estate in the Word of God. So we need to own and take to heart and live in our lives. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus actually talks about all the things and all the places that we normally do look for happiness. He talks about family. He teaches about health and wealth and security. He talks about life in the kingdom of God. And in three chapters, we learn God's view about all of these things. And that happy, the blessed life, the salt life shows up in a far different package than we could ever imagine or expect. And it begins with the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5. You see, these first 12 verses of the Sermon on the Mount, maybe you've heard this word before. It's the word Beatitudes. It's what we commonly call these verses, or blessings, beatitudes, nine statements. This is a realistic look at the kingdom of God, as Jesus was calling it, kingdom people. And before we even read these verses, we need to know this is not a list of attributes or things that we're trying to attain. These are elements of a new kingdom reality. Jesus is stating what is. And man, people were attracted to this message, especially the people in first century Galilee. Imagine that, where they were coming from. This is a new way for God's people to think about what it means to be happy, about what it means to be blessed in the past, in the future, as we look forward to heaven, but especially in the right here and right now. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Again, Jesus kicks off the Sermon on the Mount, and he shows us happiness, blessedness is found in unexpected, upside down ways we just don't think about today as being happy. Necessarily, because God's kingdom is different than the kingdom of the world. Blessedness, it's countercultural. These words that we're about to read are the opposite of what the world would consider happy. If we found ourselves in these places or circumstances, we might not think blessed or happy. But the salt life, the blessed life, begins with the words of Jesus. And just to give you a spoiler alert, okay, it's different, way different than you might think. So as we read through these verses, I'd like you to just kind of think about, man, what is happy, what is blessed about what's different about happy or blessed for God's people in these verses, all right? Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, I'm going to read them through, and then we'll go back through just a little bit after this. Matthew 5, 1 through 12, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. It goes like this. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside, and he sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, verse 3, blessed or happy, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you. Happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice And be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, compared to our everyday life in America today, does this sound like salt life? Does this sound like the happy life? This is what we sign up for, you know? I mean, think about this for a second. But as we look deeper, and again, I want you to think about the audience that Jesus was speaking to at the time. This would have been such an attractive message to the poor, to the destitute, to the hurting, to the hungry, to the thirsty people of Jesus' day. Because see, even in their culture, they had a different idea of what it meant to be blessed, what it meant to be rich. So we need to look deeper. And see, all of these blessings that Jesus has just mentioned are also mentioned in the Old Testament, and they are also expounded on in the New Testament. So this is like the core, the passage that we look at for the Beatitudes. It's amazing. And in this poetic form, Jesus lists these blessings, and then he lists these rewards that define God's people. They define God's kingdom, the reality of life for us who live in Christ, and we're called blessed. So what I've given you is a little chart. In fact, these are in your sermon notes. If you've got your bulletins, you can look. They're also found online. You can click on the link there, but they're right here on the screen. What I want to do is just kind of go through these briefly, one at a time, and just show you the blessings or the reality of, and then the reward or the outcome of the kingdom of God, the people of the kingdom. Starting with verse 3. You see what he says? Blessed are the, help me out, poor in spirit. Poor. Yoo-hoo! That sounds happy. That sounds blessed, right? Poor in spirit. Is this talking about financially? Is this talking about spiritually? And the answer is yes. All right? He's not separating the two, man. If you're down, in fact, this word really means humble. It means that we found the end of ourselves spiritually, physically, whatever, and we are just in need, man. We're destitute. We need God more than we need anything else right now, and we cry out to him. Some of you have been there. This is the exact opposite of being rich in spirit, which is really ironic because that's like defines the salt life, right? Rich in spirit, no need for anything. We've got it made. It's the opposite of being proud or without need. Blessed are the poor in spirit, but this is the reality for the kingdom of God and the kingdom people. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I love this because Jesus says of heaven, not just in heaven, which means that this is the place where God rules right here, right now in our lives. Like this is a new reality, a new mentality for the kingdom that Jesus is setting up in our hearts. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Does that sound happy? Mourning? I mean, we know what that means. In fact, many of us have had our share of mourning lately, and to be honest, it doesn't feel happy. It doesn't feel blessed at all. You know, a lot of you know that I lost my dad last year, like some of you have lost loved ones. It's not a happy place. We don't want to live there. We don't go there. Mourning? You know, today, Mother's Day may be very bittersweet for many of you today because you've lost your mom. You miss her a lot. Mourning. And I think about you mothers who have lost your kids. And this year's been tough. And I can't help think about Logan Hatfield and Brian Fiola, PJ Haas. Mourning. Blessed. Happy. Moms, we feel for you. We love you. Praying for you. And we're right here next to you. And that's really the reality, is that in life, we're going to mourn. We're going to hurt. We're going to feel grief. Doesn't matter if you're 18 or 16 or 80 years old, or we don't know. Death is a part of life. Mourning is going to happen. But in God's kingdom, in God's reality, his people are blessed, for they will be comforted. Yes, they'll be comforted. And we might not understand it in the moment, but we understand it if you've been through it, right? I mean, you understand that's a different level of comfort that comes by knowing Jesus and comes from knowing God. This is the same word that's used for the Holy Spirit, parakaleo. It means to come alongside of, to be comforted by God, to be comforted by his word, to be comforted by his people. And if you've been around the church very long, you've seen it countless times. And I hear the question all the time, I don't know how people who don't know the Lord get through this stuff. And the answer is sometimes they don't. and they go to the wrong places or they seek the wrong kind of happy. The kingdom is different. We will be comforted, God says. And we've seen it over and over and over again. And it's actually for a reason. We read later in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 1, that we will be comforted so that we may comfort those who are also going through trials like we've been through. Blessed are those who mourn. And verse 5, Jesus says, blessed are the meek. The meek. We don't use that word very much. It means gentle. It means strength under control. So when I say meek or when I say gentle, maybe you're thinking of your mom right now. Maybe you're thinking, man, my mom was gentle. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're thinking, man, my mom knew how to rampage. Boy, she could go after it. I mean, if something went wrong in the house, I don't know. But I think of my mom and I think about all the times that she could have just gone off on Joe, man, and didn't. And she pulled back and instead extended a gentle hand, a kind word, encouragement, or she just went in the other room for about 10 minutes and cooled off before she came back in to talk to me. See, that's what it means to be meek. And it's the opposite of what the world says. You see, the world says that overpowering the world, the overpowering will inherit the earth. Not the meek will inherit the earth, but those who are overpowering, the strong, the powerful. So how many times, I have to ask you, how's this working out for our world today? I mean, we see the world being corrupted by power and being made better by the meek. See, Jesus knew what he was talking about. The meek will inherit the earth. And this is a promise we can all take a hold of. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Again, this hungry, thirsty, what's that mean? Think about who Jesus is talking to here. These are desert people, first century Galilee, poor people coming from everywhere. They knew what it was like to be hungry. They knew what it was like to be thirsty. A lot of us don't understand that concept of what it means to ache inside for food and want to have a drink so bad we would like do anything for it. That's the kind of hunger and thirst Jesus is talking about here, only not for literal food and water, but for the righteousness of God, to do what is right in the world, to do what is approved by God. Hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. You see, God promises to provide. He promises to fill us overflowing. And the world literally needs salt of the earth people, kingdom people who will hunger and thirst for righteousness and spread it in the world around us. Because if we look around, we can see a world that needs it, can't we? Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, those who are compassionate, generous, who show empathy, who don't seek revenge or show spite or cast judgment, merciful. And praise God for mercy. Because a lot of us deserve wrath. Instead, we see the mercy side of God through Jesus. And that's the promise of him. It says, for they will be shown mercy. So we are shown mercy by God. But I also love how if we are merciful, we also get to see the fruit of being merciful. In fact, some of you know what I'm talking about. You're merciful people, and you are surrounded by other mercy people, and you've seen the fruit of being merciful in your life. You see, they will be shown mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, the pure in heart. Now, this Jesus is getting at a point here. He's talking about being pure on the inside, not just the outside. Now, I can't help but think this is a dig at the Pharisees, at the religious people who were pure on the outside, but not on the inside. All right, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. But this word pure, it means not immoral, not fake, but to be pure in God's eyes. Why? Because they will see God. See, we see the blessing, we see the promise, and then we see the reward, the result. They will see God. You will truly experience God. And this was good news for Jesus' audience. Bad news for those who wouldn't see him right before their eyes. Even though he's sitting right in front of them, they couldn't see Jesus for who he was. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. And this is where we get the word pacific, pacifist, peaceful, nonviolent. Romans 12 says that if we're at all possible to live at peace with everyone, peacemakers. Again, moms, you know what I'm talking about. You're the peacemaker in your home. And you got a couple kids that are ready to rip their heads off. And what are you doing? You got to step in. In fact, some of you are the peacemaker at work because you know Jesus. Some of you approach conflict and you know there's a problem and you've got to be the one to step in. And sometimes you make everybody unhappy. But you're the peacemaker. And Jesus calls us and said, this is a kingdom of peace. that I'm establishing here on earth, and you will be called the children of God. Why? Because we serve and love and follow a God of peace. And peacemakers will be called offspring of that God, the God of peace. Children of God. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now persecuted. Now this is where we got to kind of hold the phone. Like, I'm okay with the peacemakers, the merciful, you know, all this kind of thing. But no, you're talking about being persecuted now. Persecuted, blessed, persecuted, happy. We don't equate those things, do we? Not at all. We run from persecution. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to be uncomfortable. We sure don't want to be, you know, but remember who Jesus is teaching here. Or remember who is teaching here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on a cross for our sins, who understood what it meant to be persecuted. And remember who he's talking to, his disciples, who also understood what it meant to be persecuted. Who understood what it meant to be persecuted, not just for the sake of it, but persecuted for righteousness and being counted favorable by God and gaining, literally gaining the kingdom of heaven for all of us. You see, happy doesn't mean comfortable. Happy doesn't mean we're going to get our way. And Jesus forces us to rethink and to redefine blessedness all through the Beatitudes. And he goes even further, verses 11 and 12, and this is our memory verse for this week in the ESV instead of the NIV. Listen to these words. Blessed are you when others revile you, when they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Woo, those are fighting words. Those aren't happy words. You gonna talk to me like that? Like, uh-uh. No, wait. He just says, no, blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil. But what he's doing here is pretty amazing. He's using traditional Jewish thought, history, literature. You see, in historically, the priests, the prophets, they would be said to say, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of the law. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of God. And Jesus is inserting he's inserting himself here, on my account. This is a loaded statement for every Jew that was hearing him, and they would understand exactly what Jesus was doing here. He was declaring to be equal to Moses, equal to the law. In fact, he was declaring to be the new law, the word in the flesh, one with God. Verse 12, he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We just came through a series looking at some of these great prophets, didn't we? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. Were they persecuted? With a fiery, a lion's den? Are you kidding me? Yes, they were persecuted. We understand that. That's who Jesus is referring back to. And the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is defining the meaning of persecution. And he's using this word happy or blessed, this salt life. And he's doing it in a way that the world has never seen or heard or lived before. Verses 11 and 12. And I like to do this one together, so I'm going to ask you to kind of take a quick stretch with me, all right, and get your voices warmed up. So let's go ahead and say these memory verses together, all right? They're on the screen. Let's go ahead and stand together, all right? Verses 11 and 12, Matthew 5, and then we're going to hit the home stretch, all right? About done. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Let's say them together. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Hold. Let that sink in for a second. All right, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Awesome, good. Does that resonate? You singing it as you're saying it? It's good stuff, all right? We're going to memorize that this week. Go ahead and have a seat. Appreciate you doing that for me. It's just good to hear the word of God out loud, to be able to do that. But what's this mean? Man, what does this mean to all of us? What's it mean in everyday life? It means that Jesus has given us a new expectation, a new definition of happy, of what blessedness is. He's literally given us a new reality in this new outcome of his people who live in his kingdom. This is a new kingdom. I like how Mark Moore says in the Core 52 book, he says, true happiness, listen to these words, true happiness is in Jesus. Loyalty to Jesus offers nothing less than inheritance to the kingdom of God. To know God and follow his commands is always the way to the blessed life. See, the commands of Jesus are the words of God. And life in his name, life in his kingdom, is the best life of all. We're blessed, not because of our feelings, not because of our circumstances. We're blessed because God is with his people. He's with us always, even in times when we don't feel happy. We're blessed because his promises are true, past, present, and future. So yes, we are actually blessed when we are poor in spirit, when we don't have anywhere else to go but God. Yes, we're blessed when we mourn. We're blessed when we don't get our way. We're blessed when we long for God, like we hunger and thirst. We're blessed when we show mercy to others, when we seek righteousness, when we make peace in the world around us, even when we experience persecution for his sake. So we live like Jesus and love like Jesus. We experience a new kind of kingdom, a new reality, the kingdom of God. Blessed are the blank. We are a people who Jesus rules over. Kingdom people, blessed people, salt of the earth people. And these words, Jesus' words, describe a life and an attitude totally surrendered to Jesus. You see, the salt life is a surrendered life. The salt life is a surrendered life. You see, everything Jesus has just said means giving up control and surrendering our expectations and our definitions of happy. And we might get up in the morning and say, you know, I don't want to mourn. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to be meek. I don't want to seek righteousness today. Man, I want to seek for me. Maybe I want to sin today. I want to do what's wrong today. I want to do what my flesh says to do. I don't want to be merciful. I want to get back at people. I want revenge. I want justice. Maybe we say, I don't want to be pure. I don't want to make peace. I sure don't want to be persecuted. So I'm going to run from persecution. And these words remind me, and maybe they remind you, surrender. Give it up. Rethink and redefine your expectation of what it means to be happy or blessed, and reframe it to be what Jesus says it is. Because the blessed life truly is the Jesus life. The blessed life is the Jesus life. And we look at the life of Jesus, we see somebody who perfectly embodied each and every one of those beatitudes in his own life. The Son of God himself. As we look at the blessed life, the Jesus life that he lived right in front of us, and we understand what that means for us as kingdom people, we clearly see that Jesus' life leads to eternal life. It is talking about the future. Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about seeing God. He reminds us that no matter what, we are blessed by the hope of heaven. No matter what we're going through today, we have the hope of eternity in Christ. That we also reminded that Jesus' life is the salt life, that indeed you are blessed. You are the salt of the earth, the kingdom of God. We exist for a purpose. We are good for something, good for making the world a better place, spreading the flavor, spreading the preserve. I mean, doing what salt does best. But how do we live this way? How do we live like the salt of the earth? And I'm going to ask you to just wait, man, because the next 4 weeks, we're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is setting up the table for the rest of the sermon here by saying, you want to know what salt of the earth looks like? Watch this. And he gives us the sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Also, I'm going to invite you to just kind of, as we look at the words of Jesus, to take it personally. Man, this is talking about our personal life. The Jesus life is a personal life. You, me, very real, very daily, everyday things. How do we define happy in our lives? We get up in the morning. Are we blessed? Are we thankful in our hearts? What's our attitude like? What values do we hold? What's our lifestyle? What choices will we make today? In your bulletin, there's some next steps. They're also up on the screen. And this is just some ways that we can take this very, very personally today. In fact, I'd ask you to read through those 12 verses again and maybe pick one thing that you would like to focus on this week. and make it a matter of prayer, make it a matter of practice and say, you know, this week I'm going to be more merciful. This week I'm going to experience what it means to be a peacemaker. There's some conflict in my life and I've been running from it. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Or maybe persecution. And maybe you're not going to, I'm not going to telling you, you need to run towards persecution, like getting somebody's face about, but you might just mention Jesus to somebody this week and take it on the chin. Or maybe pray for those around the world that are persecuted today because of their faith. And it's not because the air conditioning went out in their building or there wasn't a song they didn't get sung in church today. It's because someone literally showed up and took their child out of their arms and told them, you can't worship Jesus here. You can't be Christians. There are nations and countries and parents and kids around the world that are literally being persecuted for their faith today. I'd invite you to find those people in those places and pray for them. So maybe find one thing. Take this personally. Another thing you can do is read Core 52, chapter 18. Go through those 12 verses. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Take that 20 minutes and read through the Sermon on the Mount. Join a small group. Talk about it. Get involved with other believers. Join the Core 52 connection. I mean, there's so many ways we can take this personally and get involved in learning and growing and experiencing these Beatitudes together this week. And I also want you to just think about, and today's Mother's Day, so this won't be a secret, but to think about what it means to live the blessed salt life in our homes, the life of Jesus, kingdom people, living the Jesus life at home in our families, because it will change everything. And for some of you, these verses hit right where you live. I mean, you're going through something at home right now, in your marriage, with your kids. Well, what kind of Mother's Day gift would it be for us to all of us right now? Just kind of think about what it means to reshape our lives around Jesus' words and live them out as kids, as parents, as brothers and sisters and family, husbands and wives. And moms, we honor you today. Again, I can't go through these Beatitudes and not think about the women in my life. And maybe you could think about someone too today. Maybe it's your mom. Whether she's here or she's in heaven, or maybe she's sitting next to you or somewhere else. You're very special, and we honor you today. And I can say as we read through these things that you are blessed, and we want to bless you, moms. We do. So as I think about what it means, blessed are the poor in spirit. May you experience the kingdom of God today, mom. Mothers, grandmothers, may you experience what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who mourn. Moms, maybe there's a pain inside of you from being a mom or losing a mom or not being able to be a mom. May you be comforted today. Blessed are you who are meek, gentle. Thank you. It's been said that mothers have inherited the earth. You find the toughest guy in the world and say something about his mama. The meek will inherit the earth. May you inherit the earth today. Mom, as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, may you be filled. As you take that quiet time in the morning or throughout the day to get away from the kids or the chaos of life, may you be filled. Blessed are you who are merciful. Mom, you're merciful. Thank you for your mercy. May you be shown mercy today. We bless you, Mom, for being pure in heart. May you see God. May you experience his presence in your life. And I thank you for being a peacemaker. Blessed are you, moms, who are peacemakers, especially in your homes. Where would we be without you? May you know that you are a daughter of the King, and may you experience the peace of Christ in your own heart and in your own life and in our homes. And for all of us, may we surround our moms with peace today and every day. Be families of peace. Be people of peace. Be children of peace. Husbands and wives and parents of peace. And if you're feeling persecuted today, may the kingdom of God be yours. We know it's not easy, Mom. Blessed are you who are persecuted for his sake. We come alongside and we pray for not just our moms today, but each and every person here. but especially as we think about maybe the words in Proverbs chapter 31, where Solomon says that her children will rise and call her blessed, and her husband also will praise her. Mom, you're blessed. We're blessed because of you. See, the blessed life is a Jesus life. As we say that about our moms, we think about Mother's Day today, it's true of dads and kids and each and every person here. And right now, I believe the best thing that we can do is as a church, as a family, as watchers and listeners, is to accept the blessing of our God. A blessing of those who are saved by Jesus to live for Jesus because he is with us. So I'm going to ask you this morning to just stand with me. Would you do that? Just stand with me, and we're going to sing this song. And I'm going to ask you that if you would like prayer today, our prayer team will be up front. We can pray with you. We'll be glad to pray a blessing on you today. We'll be glad to meet you where you are. And if today, maybe today is the day you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life once and for all and forever, you can be baptized in Christ and you can be made free and forgiven to live the best life, the blessed life of Jesus. Be a part of his kingdom, and you can do that today. And we're going to sing this very special song. It's called The Blessing. And as we sing this song, I mean, especially with our mothers in mind, I want you to think of Jesus and think of his disciples on that mountainside. I want you to think of God's people throughout all generations, of all the families that are represented here today, past, present, and future, because we are a blessed, blessed people. Let's go to God in prayer, and then let's sing, celebrate, and accept his blessing today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. God, you know each and every person here today. You know our hearts. You know who they are, and you know where we've come from, and you know what we're going through. So God, today we pray for each and every person. God, I pray for each person here. May your blessing be upon us individually, each and every heart, God, and may your blessing be upon our church today. And especially, God, today I pray that your blessing would be upon our moms, our mothers. God, I pray that as we sing and accept your blessing, that your face would be upon us. For you are gracious, God, and we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your blessing upon every generation. And I pray for the generations to come as well, that your face would be upon us. We pray and we give you thanks for your peace. We thank you for the words of Jesus that come alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. May they take root in our lives, and may we live them as we experience the blessing of a father who loves his children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.